Let's turn our attention now to far north Queensland, where the world's biggest coal port will share the environment with the world's biggest coral reef. Federal Environment Minister Greg Hunt has approved the Abbott Point coal port expansion and the building of the Curtis Island gas processing facility. But in doing that, he's imposed some of the world's tightest environmental conditions on the projects. The Australian Greens have said the 148 environmental conditions imposed are a joke, though, and that the Great Barrier Reef's World Heritage status is at risk. So, what can we discern from all of this? Here to discuss the controversial developments from an economic perspective is John Quiggin, Professor of Economics at the University of Queensland. He's joining us from Atlanta, as it happens. Professor Quiggin, thank you very much. Good to speak to you. What's the main economic issue that comes out of this?
Well, there's really two sets of issues. There's the local issue of the port project, the direct economic benefits flowing from that, as against the potential for damage to the reef from dredging and so forth. But this also feeds into the bigger issue of the future of the coal industry, climate change and the potential threats to the reef there. So the people tend to line up on both sides of those same issues. So that's one of the reasons this has become such a topic of controversy.
Is it as simple, though, as business versus environment? Is it all about trade-offs? Or can you get around that with some of the conditions that have been imposed?
Well, I don't have a lot of detail about the specific conditions that have been imposed on the dredging project. Obviously, the reef's under a lot of stress already, so it's difficult to imagine that you could have a project of this kind without some additional disturbance. It's usually pretty hard to get a handle on how much one specific project is going to contribute to the general burden that the reef's been under for the last 100 years or so, growing as a result of human activity.
The support from the locals, though, for the project. So I gather from what you're saying then that they would be thinking economically rather than environmentally. That would be your analysis?
Well, of course, I think you'd find that there's obviously depends precisely on how precisely you define local, because some parts of North Queensland depend very heavily on the reef, others on the coal industry, and of course even within a community there are those two categories.
And the other issue, of course, is the global attitude towards coal and what exactly that means here. Economically, what do you think the future of coal is?
Well, it's certainly declining fast compared to projections from a few years back, and that's particularly important in relation to this coal port expansion. There's been a string of them proposed which, taken collectively, would produce a gigantic expansion in Queensland's coal capacity. Now, it's clear that many of those aren't going to go ahead. Abbott Point itself has been scaled back dramatically from the proposal under the previous government, which was cut back a year ago. And the current expansion depends really on the assumption that we're going to see a go-ahead of the Galilee Basin mines, which are also looking much more marginal. So, indeed, although the approval has been given, there's no guarantee that the project will in fact go ahead.
Well, if it's being scaled back, then is there really any point in wearing the environmental trade-off?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, obviously, I don't think they got to the point of looking at the trade-offs with the previous project, which was much larger and obviously would have entailed a much larger volume of shipping. But certainly, much less of an argument that these projects are going to produce huge net benefits. They're going to be fairly marginal projects economically.
Well, what about for North Queensland then, specifically, if not the whole country?
Well, again, it very much depends on what line of business you're in. Obviously, lots of people have gained employment through in the mines, and that's mostly in the construction phase, which includes these port expansions. On the other hand, of course, as I've said a lot, there's a huge amount of economic activity that's dependent on the reef. So I don't think you can neatly divide it up into one group or the other.
The costs and benefits, though, of different environmental policies here, I mean, how do you go about weighing that exactly?
Well, it's certainly a challenge. I think the first issue is trying to get a handle on the economic value of the reef. It's certainly substantial. I mean, typical estimates are in the order of billions of dollars a year of economic activity associated with the reef. So that's obviously large, although still smaller in the short run than the coal industry. Then there's a question of how far you extend the analysis. So in particular, do you just look at this as this is a port, here's the traffic flowing through it and here's the reef, or do you bring in the whole issue of coal, carbon prices and so forth?
John, good to talk to you. Thank you very much. How early is it where you are, incidentally?
It's 3 a.m. Fortunately, I'm a little bit jet-lagged.
Well, yeah, it's a good time to be jet-lagged then if you're going to field calls at 3 a.m. I do appreciate it. I didn't realise we were quite doing that to you. Sorry about that. We must pick another time when you're a little less jet-lagged. John Quiggin, Professor of Economics at the University of Queensland, speaking to us from Atalanta. Sorry, that's my one Antonio Samaranch. Remember that? It's great. Viewers of The Late Show back in the 90s, oh, you'll remember and you will rejoice.